to England, my home and my country. Though I left her all those years ago, I found my way back home. I was just a girl of 26 years old when I left the shores of England all alone. Though at 26 I should have had a husband and some children I could call my own. Instead I flew the nest without realizing all that I was leaving behind. 10 years on, I finally appreciate the meaning of the blood and soil in this my homeland. England, your beauty lies beyond that all the eyes can see. You're deep within my very heart and my soul. You are a part of me, you're deep within our blood and soil. England, my country and my home. Here's to England, my country and my home. To England, our home and our country. We are the children of these lands. We will rise and we will stand as a nation once again. We will once again be free to come together with our community.
All right, that beautiful song. Welcome to hour number three of our Mega Monster Mash special programming to launch RepublicBroadcasting.org's 2023 24 hours a day programming. And please, you know, since sadly John Stadmiller passed a little over a year ago, the station needs your help. And they just recently ran an audit, and they're in rough shape. And there's none of the hosts get paid, but if you guys like what you're hearing, and I know many of you do, please go to the store. I'm sorry, that was I'll continue on. Please go to the RBN store, or for another week the fundraising campaign for $100 or more, you can own one of John Stantmiller's books from his library. Or even better, you can subscribe, you know, a monthly stipend, 10, 20, 30 bucks, whatever you can afford. I know times are tough, but, you know, I hate to think of a world without Republic Broadcasting. So that being said, I'm Giuseppe Vaffangulo, and we've switched seats, and now Frederick, the great Blackbird Nine, is the co-host, and we still have Alfred and Monica hanging in there, and Bryza from Ireland. And now we are joined by a legend. Well, Alfred and Monica and Frederick and Bryza are certainly legends, but this fella is a legend of conspiracy studies, the professor. I don't call it conspiracy theories because they've all come true, so we'll just call it conspiracy studies. So welcome to the roundtable, Dr. Jim Fetzer. Happy New Year. How are you, dear friend? It's been a few weeks since we talked.
Oh, Giuseppe, it's a delight to join you on this occasion. I wish I could be optimistic about 2023. We can only hope it's going to turn out to be a better year than 2022.
That's a great point, Jim. And my first question for everybody, and we'll start with you, because I know you're just a machine when it comes to doing all the different shows on Revolution Radio, on your own website, on your BitChute channel, working with Don Gron and everything. And what a crazy, not just 2022, but ever since the, as Andrew Carrington Hitchcock calls it, the powers that should not be, ever since they launched this fifth generational warfare attack, the scamdemic trying to push Forward, the Great Reset, the Build Back Better nonsense, the illegal, immoral experiment on humanity, this mRNA genetic therapy of altering people at the messenger RNA level and DNA level. I mean, it seems like it's just been 3 years that feel like 40 years. But it seems to me from various calls we all take that a lot of people, so-called normies, so-called silent majority, are done, and they're not going to have any more of it. So what do you see coming in 2023? And then we'll go around to the whole panel.
Well, Giuseppe, it's a reasonable principle that the recent past provides an appropriate foundation for projecting the recent future, the near future, and that means we're going to have more war in Ukraine. The threat with idiots like Lindsey Graham wanting to assassinate Vladimir Putin could be catastrophic. Russia has made it very clear that if they feel the back is against the wall and the existence of the nation is at stake, they will go all out. It won't be piecemeal. It won't be mamby-pamby. They'll launch attacks that will annihilate the West and NATO and the United States. I have just seen a map of 30 targeted U.S. cities against the context of a piece I've just published about the United States shortly after World War II having designed a plan to take out 66 Soviet cities using 204 nuclear weapons, of which the Kremlin was aware. Given our deceit and deception, including with the Minsk Accords, where Angela Merkel candidly admitted that they were entered into in bad faith, just to give Ukraine more time to prepare itself militarily for an expected Russian incursion. They have no good reason whatsoever to believe anything we say. They can't enter into any agreements with any expectation. We assured them at the time of the dissolution of the Soviet Union, we would not expand one inch to the east. And instead, well, then we had like 14 NATO nations, now we have some 30, and they've all come from expansion to the east. Russia has every reason to distrust us, and I'm extremely apprehensive that with lunatics like Zelensky and morons like Biden in office, that our fate may be sealed.
Well, I could easily see that scenario playing out. So Frederick C. Blackburn, Blackbird 9, it's just an honor to work with you. We've been, you know, doing it for a couple of years now. And your thoughts on what do you see coming for 2023?
Greetings all, for those just tuning in, and welcome, Dr. Fetzer. So glad you could join. It's always a pleasure, good sir, to work with you. Happy New Year to you.
I guess one of the things that, one, I agree with everything you guys are saying. I have the same apprehensions about 2023, but also the factor that Israel has just put back in power the Likudniks who basically did 9/11, right? So you've got Bibi Netanyahu now, you know, putting together a very conservative government, and they know the wheels are falling off of the official story left and right. So, you know, my big concern is, you know, the old Samson option, which was basically part of this whole world Zionist New World Order thing, is if any point it looks like they're not going to be able to put in their New World Order, they're going to just destroy everything. And so when Dr. Fetzer was talking about all the maps that have been released, it's like, you know, do they have the capability of launching now their Samson option if it looks like they're getting ready to lose, you know, the whole deal, because they're being exposed in every country at every level of this 5G warfare. So back to you.
Wow, what a great point. And I know we touched upon it in the first couple hours, which were excellent, and special thanks to Maleficus and John Friend, who had to depart. But Alfred, I know you're bold and defiant. You think better days are coming. So what is your thoughts for 2022? Then we'll go to your sister, Monica, and then to Breiser.
Well, Dr. Fetzer has right that there are elements that are vying for that basically a nuclear war to destroy whatever's left of humanity. So my biggest hope is really that this massive exponential awakening that is now happening will take it'll pull the ground away from underneath their feet, and they will not have anyone cooperating with this agenda, which is a horrifying agenda, like Dr. Fetzer had explained, but it is there. And then there are these elements have to be exposed and named and shamed, and they can only do it if people cooperate and do it. I mean, all these things, these military operations take people, you know, the military people who are actually doing the stuff that need to be done. And if these people all are waking up, which they are, then they will also understand that what they are doing is high treason against humanity, and that has always had a price. So my hope is basically along the lines of all of our people waking up and not cooperating with these satanic elements. That's my hope.
Oh, I share that hope. Monica, your thoughts on what's coming for 2023?
Yeah, actually, I'm starting to wonder about the very existence of nuclear weapons. Maybe that's controversial, but I don't know. I've kind of heard it from a number of sources and have wondered about that now for a while. So I know people will say, well, what about Nagasaki and Hiroshima? Those were big bombs, as far as I know. Yes, they were big, bad bombs and did a lot of damage, but were they actually what they call nuclear weapons? I see this great awakening that is happening also on another level, a spiritual awakening. I mean, we are dealing with an epic struggle between good and evil, and those who, well, the synagogue of Satan, they do follow Satan. They worship Satan. Yes, they are the chosen ones, but their God is Lucifer, Satan, and it is a spiritual struggle. And I see a great awakening in that sense, a spiritual awakening. Something that we need to be aware of, I think, what they are going to pull out all the stops on in this coming year is their nonsense about this so-called climate change. They are, well, they've been, you know, fooling us and lying to us about this whole thing, you know, called climate change or global warming and whatnot. Well, they changed the name global warming because they realized that that won't fly. And they will use that as an excuse for trying to lock us all down hard this time. And so the more we can actually raise awareness about that, the better. And like Alfred says, we just must not go along with their narrative. See, a lot of what has been happening the last 3 years has been happening because of general consent. I mean, people consented to wearing masks. I know that the coercion was powerful, and the coercion was very powerful to get the clot shot, the jab. You know, people losing jobs, getting fired, whatnot. I mean, it was very real. However, it still did take consent. So it will take our consent to go along with what they have in store for us in this coming year. And that's where we have to stop going along with their agenda. And this climate change thing, I mean, we just have to point out, you know, greenhouse operators, they pump more carbon dioxide into their greenhouses to make things grow. And yet they call this carbon dioxide thing a pollutant, a poison. Well, by wanting to diminish our so-called, you know, carbon footprint, they are actually diminishing life itself, very life itself. So I think that's a really important thing that we need to pay attention to. But I am hopeful because I sense a shift, a really big shift happening in a general awareness. And yes, this what I called a spiritual awakening. So I'll pass it on to somebody else. Thanks.
So, Breiser, your thoughts on what's coming for 2023?
Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting year. It's going to be a roller coaster ride, that's for sure. I mean, before I start, it's nice to talk to Jim Fetzer, been listening to you, Jim. So happy new year to you. So great to have you on board here. But there was a caller that came, that lady caller there in the second hour said, well, we're all kind of Putin supporters. Well, I'd say, well, I'm not a Putin supporter, okay? He's pushing ahead with the smart city agenda. There's smart cities proposed all across Russia. So he's all on board with that UN agenda. So that there, right, is a major, major red flag for me. But with the regard to the Ukraine stuff, yeah, I would support him on that, what's going on there. He's absolutely right what he's doing. What will happen with Ukraine is interesting. I was looking at True News there. This guy, Rick Wiles, reckons that Ukraine will be the new Israel. He pointed out that Henry Kissinger just 10 years ago around this time said there will be no more Israel. So is that going to be their new home? And he also suggested that it would be Russia that would be rebuilding Ukraine, not America. So, I mean, I don't know, right? There's so much stuff going on there. Other than that, I'm seeing more and more people waking up to the whole COVID nonsense. They're like this winter, they were saying, oh, there's flus going around and this and the other, and you got a mask up, and no one's paying any attention to it except the idiots. And you can see them a mile off. No one's going for their boosters anymore. People have had two or three shots or whatever. They're not doing the booster stuff anymore. They're seeing their friends and family who are dropping dead or being badly injured by it. So sadly, it has to come to that, where people have to die or get badly injured for them to wake up. But that's the way it was always going to be. That's why before this whole COVID thing, we had a lot of difficulty trying to wake people up to stuff. But I think COVID was probably one of the best things that's happened to humanity ever, because it really did give us a good kick up the ass here, big time. And we've seen it now. The government exposed their hand. They want to kill us. Now we know. We now know who, you know, we can't trust them. They know they're the enemy. So let's focus on that rather than going off on tangents, whether so-and-so is doing this, so-and-so is doing that, whatever. No, your government wants you dead. Now they have to, we have to go. And it doesn't matter whether they're in government or in the opposition. It doesn't matter. They're all on board with this. And we got to hold them to account. And hopefully kind of, you know, deal with these people, because they have to be dealt with. They're psychopaths. Simple as that. So that's my take. And I hope to see more, a huge momentum building now in the next year heading towards that. And I think it will happen. I'm seeing something very interesting happen, which I haven't seen happening now. And I was looking at this guy called Jason Brashears. He's on a website called archaics.com. And he reckons it's all going to swing from the extreme left, cultural Marxist, wokery nonsense to the extreme kind of far right, which would be Christian Zionist, Noahide law stuff. But we're going to get a little bit of respite this year. And a lot of this stuff is all going to fall by the wayside. The WEF, the EU, all of this stuff, that's not going to matter anymore. Countries are going to become more nationalistic. But then it's just a changing of the guard. And I think he could be onto something there. So I'm very interested to watch more about what he has to say about that. So that's my take.
Well, that's a great – that was a couple questions down the line. But since you brought it up, I'll shift my order, which is we'll start with Jim Fetzer, then Blackbird, then the Schaefers, then back to Breiser, which is it seems as though there is a changing of the guard. I mean Fauci's gone. Pelosi, the traitorous Speaker of the House, is retiring. Many other individuals are stepping down, and at the same time, there's never been more corruption in elections. I don't think you can consider the United States to even have legitimate elections anymore. And so how is it that you've got more and more people waking up and saying we're tired of with this, and Jim, their vote literally doesn't count?
Oh, I think you got that exactly right, Giuseppe. I mean, the theft of the elections had become so massive, so sophisticated, they're using multiple different techniques. It turns out in Maricopa County, they were, you know, bringing in batches of ballots, and they were have Spanish only employees processing them, so they didn't even realize the fraud they were perpetrating. Yeah, the printing companies were deeply involved in this, even deliberately giving them ballots that were the wrong size to process, so they'd require adjudication that would be taking place without any surveillance, and turning 99% of the ballots into Democrat when they'd been cast Republican. You have a judge who excluded 8 of the 10 issues that were being raised by Carrie Lake in her lawsuit, and then, very cleverly, assigning a time limit instead of allowing the opportunity to present a case, which, of course, could easily have taken weeks. He gave each side 5.5 hours. And then the opposition side, very cleverly, by raising objections and so forth, consumed a good amount of the Carrie Lake time amount so that it was allotted in such a way she never really got the opportunity to present much of her evidence. She is going to appeal. Mike Lindell is financing her efforts at this point. But there's a problem with appeals are dependent on what's been presented at the lower court level. So if they construct it and constrict it in such a way that she never gets her real issues in there, it's going to be extremely difficult to make any headway under appeal. So you got the tandem of corrupt courts that are not enforcing the laws, which I've experienced myself with a Sandy Hook lawsuit I've endured here in Wisconsin and carried all the way to the Supreme Court, where even though State of the Nation declared my case to raise an issue before the court that may be the most important in our lifetime about the applicability of the Seventh Amendment right to a trial by jury, nevertheless, they finessed. They didn't go for it. And I say, if the courts are this bad, this corrupt, this non-responsive, then even though, and I agree with the sentiments that more and more of the public are waking up, they voted overwhelmingly for the Republicans in this midterm. And even James Carville tacitly acknowledged that there were 57 seats in the House that they had stolen from the Republicans, blaming it on Trump. When all the polls had shown not only were Hispanics moving to the right, not only were Catholics moving to the right, but even white suburban women who represent 20% of the electorate were moving to the GOP and saying they liked Trump better than they liked Biden, which is, of course, the appropriate response to anyone rational responding to the situation as we see politics played out in the United States today. So the problem is, even though the electorate, the people, the public are becoming more and more aware of how we've been played and the corruption of our elections, as long as they control the mechanism, Dominion machine being one of the principal components thereof, and the courts, sad to say, I don't see how we're going to work our way out of this in a nonviolent fashion. What's happened is that all the mechanisms for reform that are built into the Constitution, which is, of course, a document of great political genius that enabled corrections to be made when the ship gets too off course. And we had 70% and 80% of those who were being polled before the election saying they thought the country was moving in the wrong direction, which in the past has been a highly reliable indicator of how midterm elections will turn out. Barack Obama lost 65 seats in his first midterm election, and he wasn't carrying anywhere near the heavy baggage of Joe Biden. I mean, it would have been unsurprising in the extreme, especially under the circumstances, for there to have been a massive red wave, but they were able to boil it down to a trickle, and it's disgusting beyond belief. So while I do agree the public is awakening, I'm afraid we're in the situation aptly described by JFK when he observed that those who make peaceful reform impossible make violent revolution inevitable.
Wow, really well stated, Jim. Frederick, I know on your brilliant Wednesday night show, which has allowed you to ascend to the king of Wednesday night with Blackbird Nine's Breakfast Club, you've lamented the issues where they were messing even in you know, rural North Kakalaki, and you weren't even on the voter roll. So, I mean, what can we do when it's becoming increasingly obvious that you voting doesn't matter?
No, we just need to vote harder, right?
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things when Dr. Fetzer was talking, I was reminded of my last election in 2002 when I was running for North Carolina House, that I was working software defects at IBM at the time. And even with those early electronic voting machines, we quickly showed that to our board of elections, much to their chagrin, that the software was corrupt, that it was flipping, you know, it was not adding up the ballots quickly or accurately. And we had a recount, and that proved that, you know, what we were saying about these machines, right? And, yeah, you know, just thinking how much worse it has gotten since 2002. With first the Diebold machine fiascos, and now with this later, you know, from Dominion, and you know that we've got people in gulag conditions that protested the January 6th. You know, we're here to protest this election. We don't think it was a fair election, and you know, just think how much that treatment of those people protesting was like how the Bolsheviks treated the Russians that were against, you know, being destroyed in their own countries, right? And, you know, so I think Miss Monica hit on this, you know, so well that, you know, we are up against an adversary that does not play by the rules. You know, they are playing fourth generation, fifth generation warfare on us, and they want us dead. They want us gone from the planet. And so we're seeing part of the Great Awakening. It's the same pattern in every white nation. And I think where so many people are right now is they realize that, you know, we're not going to vote our way out of this. And they really do have slime mold infiltration everywhere. And they do want a white people dead, and especially Christianity wiped out. You know, J. Edgar Hoover nailed it when he said the individual is handicapped by coming face to face with a conspiracy so monstrous he cannot believe it exists. The American mind simply has not come to a realization of the evil which has been introduced in our midst. It rejects even the assumption that human creatures would espouse a philosophy which must ultimately destroy all that is good and decent to bring in their Zabatean Frankist New World Order. And yeah, they want us gone. So back to you.
Wow, what a great, what a two phenomenal answers. We're coming to the bottom of the hour, music break, and then we have a caller, but I don't want to start the call and then have the music kick in real quick. So I guess we'll just say that, Jim, tell everybody how they can follow you in the minute leading up to the music.
Oh, I'm delighted you sent me. Thanks, Will. I'm in the back in the Court of Appeals here in Wisconsin to regain control of my blog and my book, which were wrongfully given to Posner by the judge in violation of Wisconsin statutes. But I have a new blog, jameshfetzer.org. I have my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, and perhaps most tellingly, I'm back on Twitter, at Jim Fetzer. Of those who were eager to get Alex back on, which I support, cited me as a reason why Musk ought to bring back Alex, because he was being faulted for having challenged the Sandy Hook narrative, even being fined by $1 billion for expressing opinion about as absurd a judgment as ever occurred in any court in the United States, perhaps in the world in all of judicial history. But even though it was tweeted, you know, how can you keep Alex out when you just let at Jim Fetzer, who published the book Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, nevertheless he has stood pat, even though I sent him a tweet to Elon Musk himself saying Alex got it right, showing a photograph of Noah Posner celebrating his 8th birthday. Pretty good for a kid who died at the age of 6.
That's a perfect way to end. And this is another song from Jody Kay, who was supposed to join us today, but health prevented it. But brand new album, The Acorn. JodyKay.com is her website. The album's called The Acorn, and please go and purchase it.
About my people and my kin. soon be gone. Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical. But we need to remember who we are and be proud of the things we've achieved this far. We have to carry on the legacy of our people, for we believe in and beauty and innovation and creativity. A strong society has a strong foundation in the family.
All right, welcome back to the RepublicBroadcasting.org's Sunday night Monster Mashup, 6 hours of special programming. Frederick C. Blackburn, the King of Wednesday Nights, and the Crown Prince of Saturday Evenings with his shows led us off for 2 hours. Now I'm the host and he's the co-host. Giuseppe and I have my own show here on RBN Sunday Nights, 10 to 11 p.m. as the opening act for the King of Sunday Nights, Robert Raybould, who may be popping in soon. Otherwise, he'll be taking over in about 90 minutes. And we left off at the insane frustration of more and more people waking up, but, you know, discovering that voting really gets nothing accomplished when you're given a controlled puppet candidate two choices to vote for. And so perhaps no more is that true than in Canada these days. Monica Schaefer, who recently released a book, and Monica, before you answer the question, tell everybody how they can purchase your brand new book.
Oh, thanks, Giuseppe. If you go to the Barnes Review website and I think it's just barnesreview.org. You can order it from there. That's how you can get the book. So there's phone numbers, there's email there. So that's, and I don't even have it yet in my own hands. The mail is very, very slow to come from the USA to here. Maybe it's being brought by on the back of a mule. So yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. It'll be real for me when I actually have it in my hands, and I'm pretty excited about that. It's been way too long of a process. I thought I should do this in a year, but it's taken me 4.
Oh yeah, writing a book is not easy.
Yeah. Yeah, there were a few obstacles and hiccups along the way, you know. Life happens.
It certainly does.
Yeah.
Monica, did you want to add a few words about the content of the book?
Okay, well, it takes its title from that little apology video I did, a 6-minute long video called Sorry Mom, I Was Wrong About the Holocaust. And that little video, I did that in 2016 while I was visiting my brother Alfred in Germany, because I had told him about how I sure wish I could apologize to Mom and Dad for the things I said as a teenager to them when I was learning all about the terrible, terrible things that the evil, evil Nazis and Hitler did to the Jews. And I was very traumatized by that. This was my ancestry. I was traumatized. So I said, why didn't you do something to stop these horrors from happening? You should have organized with your friends and family. So anyway, when I said that to my brother one day, I said, geez, I wish I could apologize to her. But of course, she had already passed away. And I couldn't talk about this with my parents anymore. Both of them had passed away already by the time I figured things out. And just saying that, I wish I could apologize to her. That just Alfred recognized that right away, that this was a really important thing. So, and he had all this wonderful equipment to make videos, because he'd already been making brilliant videos to educate us about what's going on in the world. And so when I went to visit him in the summer of 2016, got to work, just wrote it up what I wanted to say, and did it. And it's a 6-minute video. It's really short, to apologize for having reprimanded my mom for not doing anything to stop these horrors. And then I say, well, now I know. Well, because she had said, well, no, we just didn't know. We didn't know these things were happening. And then I just said in the video, now I know why she didn't know, because these things didn't happen. Right. Anyway, that changed my life. And so the book is basically, I talk about what happened. I talk about the ritual defamation. I talk about the trial. I talk about the jail time. I talk about a little bit of background about my parents, because they came from Germany. My dad was in one of those death camps, and luckily he was one of the survivors, where at least 1 million POWs died, and this was deliberate policy. They're kind of called the Eisenhower death camps, for those listeners who might not be aware of them. And this was after the war, where at least 1 million POWs were starved to death and froze and died of disease, hunger, everything, because they were put in these fields, open-air fields with no shelter, nothing. And they were using their spoons to dig their way into the ground just to get out of the elements, to you know, get out of the wind and rain. But, I mean, healthy men would be brought in, and within days they were crawling. And every day the trucks would take out corpses, many, many corpses. Anyway, Dad was one of the lucky ones who did survive. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here to tell the tale. Mom also had her stories about hunger after the war. So I talk about those things a little bit in the book. And yeah, that's what it's about, that in a nutshell.
Well, let me just add that I'm a huge fan of you and your brother. And of course, I have interviewed you before, and I admire your perseverance and the risks you've run in exposing the story. And I agree completely. Just to underline the points you were just making, those millions of deaths you're talking about were not from the labor camps that were mislabeled as death camps. Well, we have hundreds, even thousands of babies having born where they were using Zyklon B, but to kill body lice. So typhus and dysentery wouldn't spread through the camps for the reason that you can't get work out of a corpse. or they even had hospitals with OBGYN facilities, woodworking shops, symphonies, and the like. The story of World War II has been a massive propaganda ploy to bolster a Jewish political influence in order to, create the nation of Israel and exercise control over the Western nations by pulling the claim of anti-Semitism or of Holocaust denial on anyone who challenges Israel's actions, when in fact anyone who actually takes a serious look at the evidence recognizes that it's a myth, but it's a myth they must defend on fear that because their political power is rooted in a Western sense of guilt over the Holocaust, it must be defended at all costs.
Well, well stated, Jim. And, you know, we've got a caller patiently waiting, I believe, Jeff from Utah. Jeff, welcome, and what's on your mind? Or maybe he dropped off. Is Jeff still there? If Jeff or anyone else would like to call in, the call-in number is 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252. They always say it three times to imprint. 512-248-8252. So, Monica, go back to you for a second. I mean, if voting mattered in Canada, you certainly wouldn't have Fidelito as your prime minister. So what's the belief in your region as far as the effect of voting or non-effect?
Well, I want to echo, who was it? Oh, I think, Frederick, you said, yeah, you just have to vote harder, right? I mean, you know, okay, so all of us on this panel have heard this, but maybe some listeners haven't heard this. To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticize. And those we are not allowed to criticize, they own the press, they own the banks, they basically are the puppeteers of the government. So with this state of affairs, I do not think that we can vote ourselves out of the mess we are in right now. And I just want to give a quote from the great American poet Ezra Pound, who said, "Democracy is Jew speak for countries run by Jews." So kind of says it in a nutshell. You know, I mean, there are these people we're not allowed to criticize lest we'd be called anti-Semitic. And like Alfred said earlier, the Bolsheviks had the penalty of death for anti-Semitism. So this is the situation we find ourselves in now. I just don't think that we can solve our problems through our current system of so-called democracy, whatever that is, you see. So it's not working when we are infiltrated by an enemy which hides itself like the Camelians. You know, Cicero said that the enemy at the gate is much less dangerous than the enemy within, because the enemy at the gate flies their flag openly and wears their you know who they are, so you know who to go after. And this is the thing that you know, many people shrink back at this word, the Jew, and we have been so indoctrinated to be very afraid of this word, and somehow we have to get through this. And I understand it, because I used to myself have this allergic reaction or just this shrink back. It's almost frightening to say that word unless you were talking in the context of the persecuted Jew or the talented Jew, because that's the only permissible ways to use that word. So they have really got us programmed to be very afraid of that word. Now, why is that? Because they know very well that when we name them, then we recognize and face the enemy. Then we know who the enemy is. They want us dead, like, I think several of you have said it, that, you know, we just have to understand that they want us dead, and through the government, the government wants us dead, but the government is run by them. The advisors are Jewish, and even if the government officials themselves might not all be Jewish, of course they're not. There's many Gentiles among these so-called representatives, but they're all being puppets, right? So, yeah, I'm kind of going all over the place, and I've lost my train of thought a little bit, but I think I'll just leave it at that.
Okay, well, turns out Jeff from Utah is here. Jeff, welcome. Happy New Year. What's on your mind?
Hi there. Hello to everyone on the panel. What's up, my man Giuseppe?
Living the dream.
Yeah, I was going to say, having faith in any man, politician, voting, anything like that is basically a lesson in, like, stupidity, because voting is just a method of letting people, like, feel like they have some say in the government when they don't have any say whatsoever. It's like the people just have a choice. The only choices you really have is, are you going to be into the Word of God? What are you going to eat? What are you going to wear? Where are you going to go? What are you going to buy? And even those choices under the New World Order are going to be taken away from us. So it's, the future is not looking too great when it comes down to it.
Wow. I can't really argue with that. Frederick, your thoughts on the call?
Without Fed posting. Yeah.
Hello?
Ask me again, real concise, what you were saying.
Oh, go ahead, Jeff. Make your point again. I was curious with Frederick.
Just saying, voting is just like, it's just futile. It's just ridiculous, because you think people that are worth trillions and quadrillions worth of dollars are going to let what they consider peons vote to change their way of life? That would never happen. Not on any planet, not anywhere. You know what I'm saying? They're just not. It's just not going to happen. And as far as that woman running in Arizona, Carrie Israel, I call her, she was a news reporter that spouted out propaganda and lies for 30 years. And now we're to believe she's for the people all of a sudden. Now she got a heart. Now she's going to help the people. I mean, it's ridiculous. All these politicians, every one of them is a Freemason. Every one of them is owned, run, and controlled. No one's coming to save you but God. That's it. And these people keep going round and round every year. We'll get them next year. We'll get them in 4 years. No, you won't. You won't get them in 4 years. They're going to get you in 4 years. You know what I mean?
Yes, yes.
Right. And
well, that leads me. Go ahead, Frederick, please.
No, I was just going to say, this whole thing of our system being so corrupted, it's just kabuki theater at this point, where, you can have compromised Zionist blue team or compromised Zionist red team. And one of the things that really has come out is the weaponization of that technique with Jeffrey Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell, Ehud Barak, Unit 269, blackmail, bribery, not only of our politicians, but all of our thought leaders. And so, that big exposure of just how corrupt all these so-called elected officials, and gee, wonder why they always vote the same way anytime something about Israel comes up, right? So, these people aren't serving we the people anymore. And this is part of the Great Awakening in the United States, but every white nation is going through this same Great Awakening to realize that no matter what type of government system they have, it has been completely infiltrated by this international elf slime mold chicken swingers that is has weaponized the governments and the medicine and the academia, et cetera, against the white people themselves. And this is the big realization I think people are going to have to come to grips with. But great call.
Yeah.
Great call.
Frederick, I have news for you. They were never for us. They were never on our side. It just seemed that way. They've been working for the corporations, the military-industrial complex, Big Pharma, since the beginning of time. They've never, ever been for the people. Ever.
Point taken.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. I hope you have a great year. I'd like to hear from Alfred Schaefer in Germany. I mean, does voting matter at all in Germany, Alfred?
No, it matters about as much here as it does in the United States or Canada or or any of our countries. I want to go back to the quotation that Dr. Fetzer had mentioned there from Kennedy when he said, if peaceful revolution is inevitable, then violent revolution becomes peaceful revolution is not possible.
Reform. Yeah, I think
reform.
It really is
reform. Peaceful. Yeah. Then a violent revolution becomes inevitable. And that is so very true. And our system now is a matrix of death. So it is leading directly to a violent revolution or a violent change, because the democracy, as we've all concluded, is just a charade to lead us to believe that we have something to say. We have nothing to say. And I say that the pure, naked, raw energy required for this violent revolution will come out of the collective awareness of what we have been injected with, which was called a COVID vaccine. This is where the energy comes from. And that takes time. It's an emotional development. It evolves kind of thing. It's like if a small child gets raped, it will not understand what happened. It will only know it's painful and so forth. But eventually it does learn that was a rape. And when the men folk in the community of that child learn what has happened, they will develop an energy, a rage that is what is needed to do this violent revolution. That's where we are right now. And we cannot be people who have not yet felt this or experienced this energy, this rage, because they don't really understand what they've been injected with yet, they will change completely once they do understand what they've been injected with. And then they will also know that they do not know how much time they have left before they drop dead. And they might accept the fact that they were dumb enough to roll up their sleeve to get the shot, but they will never accept the fact that their children were injected with this stuff. And that is the mama bear reaction that comes. And that's what the eternal enemy of mankind, the eternal poisoners of the wells, are now facing, this inevitable biological response. And that's how Eustace Mullins had also phrased this. And that was before 9/11, when he was observing what they were doing in the United States of America and worldwide. He said, this will elicit a biological response eventually. And that's what that's what we are facing right now. We are in the beginning of this biological response. So that's it.
What a great answer. And Breiser, you live in a country, Ireland, where even just 30 years ago, it was basically a homogenous, high-trust society. And now I think your prime minister is from Pakistan or India or something, much like the installed Rishi Sunak. So what's it like to be in Ireland, where you used to know everybody, you had a high trust, and now clearly voting doesn't matter there?
Yeah, well, about 15, 20 years ago, we had an ethno-state here. It was pretty much 99.9% white Irish people. And now it's down to maybe 70% now, which is ridiculous. Open borders, they're all coming in. And hotels are being put up to accommodate all these people. And people are beginning to see it. Now, going back to the whole voting thing, one of my New Year's resolutions now is to take my name off the electoral register, because I don't want anything to do with these people, because the government always wins. And when I look at what we have here, we have a coalition of the two opposition parties in government together, the two opposition parties, plus the Greens, okay? So it's crazy what we have going on here. And they're bringing in the most outlandish laws, or full-on green climate nonsense, hate speech nonsense. And people are kind of getting fed up now. And I think the only way to get out of this is just not consent and take your name off that electoral roll. And there's ways of doing it. I think it's different procedures in different countries, but I think that's the only way to get out of this. So voting doesn't count, for me now. It's done. I haven't voted for a long time anyway, but my name is still on the register, so I have to really deal with that one now. It's important. And I think we all should look at that and do that, because what's the point? There's no political party out there who's going to save us. None. The political solution, so to speak, is not there. It's finished. That boat has sailed a long time ago. So, but just before I just want to jump in there, our mutual friend Graham Hart is listening in. He sent me a few messages there. and he's enjoying it. And,
Great. Well, we want to salute him. He is a hero and just a wonderful guy. And his daughter sent me his album, and I've been using some of his songs. And what a gifted musician and songwriter, just all in all. And salute to Graham for enduring everything he had to endure. So we love you, Graham, and we're glad you're out.
He's out. He got out on 22nd of November, so he's doing all right. He's trying to find his feet again, and but, you know, he's under a lot of restrictions. But myself, Monica, and Alfred had a great chat together, and they were comparing stories and everything. That was great fun, you know. So
awesome.
Yeah, so he's doing well, and he wants to thank everybody who sent him letters and postcards and little gifts and stuff. It kind of made his time inside a lot easier, and I'm sure Monica and Alfred would concur with that. When you get that support from outside, it really makes things better.
It's the lifeline. It's the lifeline. That's how it was. I felt it. That was my lifeline, all the mail, for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And greetings to you, Graham. We love you. And you're that song Hoax Train is pretty much an anthem.
Yeah.
It is an anthem.
The number one hit out there in the alternative music world. Number one. And it's been there for a long time.
Yeah, classic.
Classic story.
Sure. Well, we're coming to the top of the hour, and after the top of the hour break, we'll take another caller and then give you guys a moment or two. We'll flip the script and we'll go around the panel and let everyone ask the rest of the panel a question. So I'll give you guys a couple minutes to think about which direction you want to take it. And just want to tell everybody again that Republic Broadcasting really needs your help. It's republicbroadcasting.org. If you want, you can purchase one of John Stadtmiller's books. That's an awesome way to own a great book and help the station. You can go to the store. You can sign up for a regular subscription, maybe $10, $20 a month if you can afford it. And we understand many of you can't if it needs to be just a one-time donation. But, you know, the world would be a much darker place without republicbroadcasting.org. And so please support this fine station, which has got an amazing roster of hosts and everything. And so here we go. Here's the fade in of the music. So stay tuned for the fourth hour. And then after us, it's the king of Sunday night, Robert Revolt, in Incendiary Radio. We'll be back after the break.
It's not too late. We still have time. We can make things right. We can turn this round. We will once again live life the wholesome way. Traditional way. But we need to remember who we are and be proud of the things we've achieved this far. We have to carry on the legacy of our people. For we believe and beauty and innovation and creativity. A strong society has a strong foundation.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.